Category F3, Full Service Station of the Year. News Talk 106 to 108, March 26th.
News Talk Breakfast, in association with Aircom Business. Delivering the speed, quality and value you need to drive your business forward.
Time is just coming up to 7 o'clock. You're listening to News Talk Breakfast every weekday morning from 7 until 10 with Ivan Yates and me, Shane Coleman, standing in for Chris Donoghue.
The top story on Wednesday, the 26th of March. Another goo-boo moment in Irish politics.
Did you talk to Minister Shatter? Did you tell him he should correct the record of the House?
Will you ask Minister Shatter to go?
No, is the answer to your question.
With the Justice Minister on a knife edge, we examine the gravity of the latest scandal within An Garda Síochána. Who in government knew about the thousands of secret phone recordings? And what questions need to be answered this morning by the Justice Minister and the Attorney General?
Good morning. The Justice Minister will have two opportunities in the Dáil today to save his job. Alan Shatter must explain what he knew and when about the secret recording of phone calls in Garda stations, and he'll be expected to change the record of the Dáil about whistleblowers. News Talk's political correspondent Padraig Gallagher reports. This morning,
Thanks, Ciara. You're listening to News Talk Breakfast with Shane Coleman and Ivan Yates. Well, so many answered questions this morning. The government have put out to bat Simon Coveney, the Minister for Agriculture, Food and Fisheries, and of course the Fine Gael TD in Cork. He joined me in studio just a few moments ago. I began by asking him to tell us exactly what are these tape recordings from Garda stations.
Well, first of all, my understanding, because the first I heard of this was yesterday, like everybody else in government, my understanding is that these are recordings that were taken in Garda stations across the country. Not every Garda station, but a lot of them. The system was put in place back in the 80s, whereby phone calls coming in and going out of Garda stations were recorded, primarily set up initially when there was a bomb threat in Ireland.
For example, so if a solicitor rang up and say, my client is in a cell in a Garda barracks, can I speak to him? Would that conversation be recorded?
Honestly, I don't know. And that's why we need to have a commission of investigation to establish exactly what kind of conversations were recorded.
There was a bit of a low at the time, because to me, Alzheimer's was never spoken about. All I knew about Alzheimer's was affected people terrible. They finished up in homes, and I could see that from my own life, that I was going to finish up in a home where, if I even wanted to use the tiles, be someone with a bunch of keys and bring it out and bring it out. And that was my big low for a long time. Until I met Rose Cottage, and that was the whole change for me, to find another group of people like this, that we were all in the one boat, we don't complain, and we're all living normal lives. Nothing, very little has changed in my life. I'm still a member of the Guild. I meet my friends quite normally, every so often. Never feels going to a hoolie or a party anywhere.
Now, Seamus has decided that he doesn't want to hide the fact that he has Alzheimer's because he finds it easier when people actually know.
People that I hadn't seen for years, which happens at my age, because we're all retired men and that, but you wouldn't see someone maybe for the last 20 years. Now, when I meet them, and I haven't seen them before, I say to them, how are you? You're looking great, how are things? I say, yeah, well, I've Alzheimer's, and they don't believe me sometimes. I won't say some things they say. But it makes better, because if we're having a bit of a conversation then, and I can't think of a word, they'll say the word for me. Now, they're not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. I mean, go on with our conversation. So in that way,
I suppose we've had to make a lot of changes. My dad has, my personality changes have been the biggest shock for me. I have never in my whole life had a row with my dad or raised words. My dad wouldn't ever be of that temperament, of that personality. And now we find a little bit moody have to say. We won't be like that now. He'd be in Rose Cottage this morning not liking that, but he is moody. Bit of bad temper sometimes, and that's very new for
us. Not characteristic of him.
Absolutely not. And the use of bad language shocked us in the months up to the diagnosis. I think that's what kind of made me very aware something's not right here with Dad. He doesn't curse, and then he was swearing like a docker, and that was a bit of a shock.
Now, the first time you saw that there was something that really required attention, did something happen?
Yeah. We were kind of, I suppose, myself and my brother Stephen, we'd be very close, and Stephen lives at home, so we'd be talking, you know, between ourselves, do you notice this? And I've noticed this. But we were kind of saying, no, we'll give it another while. And then we were at Gorey Theatre one night, and it's a glass-fronted building. And at the interval, Mam went out to have a cigarette and Dad went to the bathroom. And when he came out of the bathroom, he went to follow Mam. And he went straight for her outside through the glass, but he hit the glass wall.
He actually went into the glass?
Into the glass, and gave himself an awful mark on his head and on his knee. And he walked back into the auditorium with his hand up to his head, and I saw blood, and we got an awful fright. So my husband Chris went out and said, show me what happened to you, Seamus. Show me where you went. How could this have happened? And he would have had to literally climb through two huge potted plants that were placed to stop people going
through the glass.
He must have climbed through them.
And that meant you had to do something.
We had, because now he was, dare I say, a danger to himself.
Now, it's yet to be seen what the political fallout from the ongoing tapes controversy will be, but one thing is for sure, the nation is waiting with bated breath to hear what Minister Alan Shatter will say as he takes to his feet this morning in the Dáil in just about 10 minutes' time. It's expected that his statement will detail how much he knew about the secret recordings of phone calls in Garda stations and for how long he so knew. It's expected that the role of Attorney General Máire Whelan and the Director of Public Prosecutions will also come into play. Now, on the line is Parliamentary Correspondent with the Irish Times, Michael O'Regan. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, you have watched Minister Shatter, backbencher, frontbencher minister over many years. What is your instinct as to what he will do this morning vis-a-vis all of those things, including the whistleblowers?
I think, Pat, what he'll do this morning, I think he'll break the habit of a lifetime to survive, and that is he'll show humility. Now, I've watched him for, over three decades, as you have indeed. You know, he was in the Dáil, backbencher, lost his seat, won it back. It's his speech, which, as you said, is due within less than 10 minutes now. He's got to, not alone has he got to deal with the immediate issue of, you know, why he only knew about this taping in Garda stations effectively on Monday. But also he's got to go back, Pat, you see, to the issues which have brought him to this sorry pass politically, and that is, he's got really to apologise to the whistleblowers. This is not an issue that...
Good morning. As you've been hearing on the Pat Kenny Show, the Justice Minister says the fact that recording of phone calls in Garda stations was in place and for so long is of serious concern. Alan Shatter's addressed the Dáil after Cabinet decided to establish a commission of investigation into the matter. He says he's constrained by the fact a civil case is before the courts and that his department was made aware of this incident in one Garda station on the 28th of February last. But he says he didn't see a letter from former Commissioner Callanan on the extent of the issue, sent on March the 10th until 20 to 1 yesterday afternoon. Minister Shatter's told the Dáil there's a need to find out the extent of the issue.
I
recognise,
of course. I mean, I just don't know where to begin to deal with these new revelations about the bugging, because I thought I'd get up this morning and I was waiting to see a DeLorean parked outside my house and to see Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox from Back to the Future, because I thought I went to sleep in 1982 or so when I was a young intern or a young senior house officer and we were having bugging scandals and ministers for justice in trouble and attorney generals in trouble, and suddenly it just seemed like it was just all back again.
Yeah, it does seem like it's all back again. It's time for our farming slot. Mairead Lavery, editor of Irish Country Living and Irish Country Magazine in the Farmers Journal, joins us once again. Malting barley, Mairead.
That's right. You'd wonder now what on earth, as you're sipping your pint or having your little glass of whiskey.
What is the connection there?
What is the connection? And if you're looking at a glass of cloudy beer, you're maybe wondering why as well. And they're all absolutely connected. Mm. And it's all through a little thing called protein. and there's a bit of a row going on about protein levels in malt and barley at the moment.
Oh, right, okay.
But I'll give you a bit of the history of malt and barley, if you like. Yeah. There's three kind of main cereal crops in the country, barley, wheat and oats. Mm. And, you know, a lot of it is grown in kind of South Leinster. You'd see the big grain fields, also East Munster. And for malting barley, which is a very kind of specialist crop, say, what, there's 130,000 farmers in Ireland, there's only about 1,000 of them grow malting barley. So they need to grow it on kind of very light soils. Heavy soils won't suit at all. And it's pretty specialist crop in that the specs are really high for it. For instance, every single field is identified where the crop came from. So there's, you know exactly, you can identify the field where the crop comes off of. You can even identify the trailer load of malt and barley that was delivered to the maltsters.
Wow.
Yeah, they take a sample from every single trailer.
Mm.
So the costs are high in producing it, but the premium is high as well in terms of the payment. It's about a 20% higher price per tonne than you'd get for ordinary feed grain.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Farmers guard their contracts very, very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've had a long history of growing.
Somebody took a decision to do this. This is not tragic. This is deliberate malfeasance. This is somebody taking a conscious decision to tape calls. And the strong suspicion we have, which is probably going to be borne out, let's be honest, is that calls and information were being illegally and unconstitutionally harvested by people who just wanted to know what you were saying to your lawyer and wanted to get into things that are private or are privileged. Now, I mean, that is the symptom. I mean, it is correct to call that a symptom. You have to treat symptoms first. But it seems to me then that what cannot be lost sight of in all of this is what the symptom points to. And that is a very deep and cancerous malaise within the last great estate in Ireland that has remained immune from public scrutiny and public criticism. The church is gone. The banks have gone. Just large degree, the legal profession is gone in the sense of having that immunity. But the guards, the police have remained alone. And they've been left alone. They've been left alone by the political establishment. Sometimes, wrongly, they've been left alone by the judicial establishment and the legal establishment. And they've been allowed to get away with this type of thing and other things for far too long.
All right, I have one last question.
Thanks, George. Good evening. The Justice Minister has apologised to two Gartha whistleblowers. Alan Shatter has also corrected the Doyle record that Sergeant Maurice McCabe and former Gartha John Wilson did not cooperate with an inquiry into the penalty points issue. The move eases pressure on the Minister, with Labour happy with the correction. Our political correspondent, Pádraig Gallagher, reports.
I want to begin by addressing a matter of substantial importance.
Alan Shatter got straight to the point in the Doyle, the issue of the whistleblowers. He'd looked again at what he'd said and what information was given to him. Minister Shatter says more should have been done by the O'Mahony internal investigation to get the views of the whistleblowers. Further efforts could and should have been made to get their cooperation, he admitted. Then he corrected the Doyle record and apologised twice.
I therefore wish to correct the record of this House that the whistleblowers, quote, did not cooperate with the Garda investigations that took place. I acknowledge that this statement was incorrect, and I believe it's appropriate that I apologise to both and withdraw the statements made. I am aware that the whistleblowers and others have issues with some remarks I made outside this House, and I apologise for any offence that may have been caused by any other remarks made by me.
And those apologies will be enough to calm any tensions within the Coalition and individually within both the Fine Gael and Labour parties. The Minister also says he took all of the allegations made seriously and that speedy and appropriate action was taken to address them, and that's borne out by today's debate.
Meanwhile, prosecutor.
All right, we do want to bring you something that, technically, this would be the most overt signs of dissent from Manchester United fans after they limped to another massive, crushing home defeat, this time at the hands of Manchester City. Here is one angry Manchester United fan venting his rage on the YouTube channel Full Time Devils.
The only good one tonight was Wayne Rooney. He tried and he tried. And what do you give? He's on a 6-year contract. He's best mates with Fergie. The Glazers, they don't know nothing about football, but eventually it will become a financial decision. Next Tuesday, April Fool's Day is the biggest fool in Manchester, and that is you, David Moyes. You have lost the fans tonight. You don't deserve the fans. You don't deserve anything from this club. You got the job on the technicality of a legend who recommended you. You are nothing. You are a fool, and you are a waste of time. Good night.
Way. My favourite thing about this is how people absolutely know how to broadcast down the lens of a camera. Like, it's something that they're doing a lot. The guy kind of starts looking, and then suddenly he realises, no, that's the camera lens, and I'm going to tell you precisely, because I know David Moore is probably going to see this, or if not him, his family. And one of them is going to tell him exactly how I feel.